half. We did a good job on offense of controlling the tempo of the game in the first half. I also think we did a really good job defensively in the first half, did a good job on third down. I don't think we maintained our intensity and played nearly as well in the second half. You got to give them a lot of credit. You know, they hung in there and they kept fighting. And, you know, we just didn't play as well. We didn't play as well on offense. You know, we did get put Bryce in the game, which was his first college game. So we thought he needed to get some experience. And I think it will be helpful in terms of his learning curve. He's a backup quarterback. So we got to get him ready to play as well. And we probably sacrificed a little bit offensively by, you know, giving him the opportunity to do that. He was obviously a little anxious out there in terms of how he played, but, you know, it'll be something that he can learn from. I think from a team standpoint, I think when you play a first game, you sort of figure out who you are, you figure out where you are. And then the last thing is what do I have to do to improve and get better? And I think every guy on our team has a lot of maturity in terms of what they need to do to get better, to play for 60 minutes in the game, to maintain their intensity, and to execute a little better. We had far too many penalties, especially, you know, pre-snap penalties, which has been an issue that we have worked so hard on, but really didn't show up out there tonight. So there's a lot of things that we can do to improve on, but I'm proud of our team. You know, they've went through a lot and had to overcome a lot to get in this game and to come out and play, you know, extremely well in the first half. I think they were well prepared and ready to play. We just didn't maintain our intensity throughout, which we'll learn from and certainly have to do, you know, as we go down the road in the SEC.
Okay, we're going to start with Michael.
Yeah, Nick, just wondering, how normal did it feel out there tonight, given all the circumstances?
Well, you know, it didn't feel normal, I don't think. I think it's a little different playing without fans, without enthusiasm. But I think our players really play hard and they competed. And I don't think the spirit of the game was different in terms of having fans. And but I don't think the competitive spirit that the players played with and how hard they played and how hard they tried and what they were trying to get accomplished, I don't think that was any different than it ever is. This is the way of the world right now, at least for the next little bit. So we need to be able to maintain our intensity and not rely on any external factors to try to maintain our intensity. And that's going to be a real key, you know, all year long.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Nick, I know it's the first game there were mistakes made, but Christian Harris seemed to play pretty fast tonight. How much is that from the experience he gained last year, being a little more comfortable this year? And how much do you think Dylan helped him in that regard tonight?
Well, I think he plays with a lot more confidence when Dylan's in there because Dylan makes all the calls and, you know, Christian is, you know, more comfortable and more confident in terms of what he is supposed to do. And I think he's a lot more confident player now. So I think he's going to play fast and he's got, you know, outstanding ability, and the more he can channel in the right direction, the more plays he's going to make. And, you know, I thought he played well tonight.
Go ahead, Tony Sakalas.
Yeah, how encouraging was it to see Mac Jones perform well? And then what have you seen from the connection between him and Jalen Waddle?
Well, I think that Mac has performed well all fall camp. No surprise to me the way he played in this game. I think he's got really good chemistry with Waddle and Smitty both. And I think Jonathan Mechie is making progress. We just got to continue to develop more depth, you know, on our team, play more players. But, you know, Mac was really good tonight. He managed the offense really well. He made lots of really good decisions. So, you know, we just want to build on that. And hopefully we can as an offensive unit.
Dennis Dawes.
Nick, how did the defense look in general in terms of improving? And Dylan, after 13 months after the ACL.
You say Dylan?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Dylan played well. I think he's very confident. You know, I think that we're very excited to get him back. I think he helps everyone play better. We made a lot of mistakes on defense. They do a lot of formations. There was a lot of adjustments to be made. We had some young players playing out there, but I was really encouraged by the way we played defensively in the first half. Not the way we need to play on the second half. And the biggest issue was third down. I mean, you know, we played well on third down, got off the field on third down. And when you play teams like this and they convert on third down, they extend drives. They're going fast. They're fastballing you. The most important thing is to get off the field on third down. And we did that not very well in the second half. And that extended drives for them. And that's what was a problem for us on defense.
Go to Cecil.
Coach, Matt seemed poised in the first half, made some really good throws. Was that just a carryover from what you've seen in the practices and scrimmages so far?
Yeah, that's the way Max played, and he's done a really good job, and I thought he played well tonight. And, you know, they have a good defensive team. You know, those guys are physical, they're tough, they play a lot of close coverage, a lot of man-to-man, and they're a good front seven. I thought Mac handled the game really well. I thought he made good choices and decisions. He was accurate with the ball. So I was very, very pleased with the way Mac played.
Okay, we got time for two more. Mike Rodak, we'll start with you.
It was mentioned on the TV broadcast, Nick, that Charles Kelly was not with you on this trip. Just how did you work around that as a staff, and do you have a sense yet of when he might be back?
I'm not sure when he'll be back, but Mike Stoops sort of filled in for him on this trip. But we also have two secondary coaches, so it wasn't like we were totally void at the position, you know, with Carl Scott. So, you know, we wish, you know, Charles and his family good luck in getting well, and we'll hope that he gets back soon.
We'll finish with James Ogletree.
Yeah, Coach, you and Coach Golding talked through fall camp about the importance of putting your players in position to be successful with their strengths, and especially in terms of the speed of your young players. With that tonight, I'm curious, how do you balance that, putting them in position to use their speed and also keeping disciplined on option plays, play action, that sort of thing?
Well, you know, we had a freshman in there when they hit the wheel route to the back for a touchdown. So we were trying to get him some experience. I really don't understand the question. You know, we play team defense around here. Everybody's got a job to do. You like to feature the talent that you have. And we try to do that when we can. And we also have to play a system and adjust to a lot of things that the other team's doing. You don't get to choose when the other team runs a play action pass. You don't get to choose when they run the ball. You don't get to choose when they throw a drop back pass. You don't get to choose when they throw a screen. You don't get to choose when they throw a wheel out to the back. You have to be very disciplined and execute and do your job. All right. So that's the way you play team defense. We want to put our players in the best position that they can do, to do that. But we also, can't make mental errors regardless of what your ability is, and let the other team make big plays.
All right, Coach, that's all for you. Guys, thank you. We'll have players in a minute.
All right, thank
you. Mick.
Yes.
What's up? I'm back.
What's up, man? I'm sitting here looking at these scores, and I'm just texting you. Hey, welcome back, man. A 38-19 win for Alabama, and I feel really good about the way that things went today, but you had a chance to hear what Nick Saban said and how he felt about today's game. Doesn't matter what I think.
Right. So first of all, everybody, this is the call-in segment of the show. Call-in line is at the bottom of the number, at the bottom of the screen, rather, 205-850-0883. Call-in line is open. Update your phone book. I want to take your calls tonight, and I want to sound off on this Alabama victory against Missouri. Mick, as we look at this game, I would prefer if you were hosting, and I'll be the analyst. So why don't we just switch hats real quick?
Yeah, let's do that. All right. Well, look, because I kind of stepped in and I'm like, all right, well, I'll do this. Look, let me start off with my question to you. Okay. What did you see in this football game? I told you I thought that Mac Jones and his performance was the headline. What's Kyle Henderson's headline?
I mean, this man right here. I mean, Najee Harris, I thought, did exceptional. I thought, you know, running the football, I mean, he was everything that we really wanted to see tonight. You know, 17 rushes, 98 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, the campaign has certainly started, and I think he did an excellent job leading the Crimson Tide. Of course, up top, Mac Jones did a fantastic job as well. 18 for 24, 249 yards with 2 touchdowns, a great passer rating. And we talked about his performance would be under the radar, right? A lot of people would, you know, be everything that he's going to do, people are going to be so critical because he is the quarterback at Alabama. I think one of the guys that we talked about as well is Bryce Young as a freshman, 5 of 8, 54 yards. But people are going to, you know, remember the fumble. Was that on the offensive line? Was it on Bryce Young? Maybe it was a combination of both, right? The ball doesn't just slip out of your hands, you know, for no reason. And then Missouri was able to, you know, counter with a touchdown. But overall, you know, I thought Alabama did flex, especially in that first half. I think they played like we thought they would. The second half, it was weird. It had a weird, really weird pulse to the second half. I didn't like that. I'm sure Nick Saban didn't. As you look to the top right of the screen, you look at the total stats. I mean, 414 for Alabama and 322 for Missouri. I mean, where did that even come from, right? I think passing yards, you know, 303 for Alabama, 253. That's probably a little bit too much for Alabama. Rushing yards, 111 for the Crimson Tide, 69 for Missouri. So, you know, a lot to kind of, you know, process and go over when we kind of look at these stats. But I think, you know, the offense did, you know, great. I mean, you look at Jaylen Waddle and Devontae Smith down there, 16 combined catches for, you know, over 200 yards. So those guys are really going to be the staple, and did a great job tonight. And Jaylen Waddle, I'm serious. I know it's Najee's campaign, but I'm pushing for Jaylen Waddle as well, because those two young men, certainly electric.
Well, he could have had 3 touchdowns. I mean, and the one got reversed, and I don't know how it got reversed, because I'm watching the same video that they have, and it looked like he was in, and then Najee scored on the next play. But you heard Nick Saban's press conference, and one of the things he said was that maybe bringing in Bryce Young at that point in the game slowed down the offense some, right? But that he felt like that was important for his development. And you guys, you go out, you give everyone on our site the scoop of, you know, the next 5-star prospect. Look, this is one of the best young quarterbacks in the country. This is his first game. Like, he's a true freshman. What did you think about his performance, and what did you see when he stepped onto the field and got under center for Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I think that, you know, I like what I saw, and I wasn't surprised for him to really step up and, you know, really showcase his ability. I think there was a couple passes across the middle of the field where he really showed what he's capable of. There was a bad snap that he basically caught with one hand and kind of tossed the ball downfield. And that was, you know, that's the Bryce Young that you're going to see. You're going to see a guy who's able to make plays. I think there was a couple times where he scooted out of the pocket and he did a good job. And you got to see what he's capable of when the pocket does collapse, when he has to get going. Now, Bryce isn't the fastest guy, you know, straight up and down. I mean, yeah, he's fast, but he's more of that quick twitch. So when guys come, he's able to evade them, get up the field, get the first down. And I think we saw that from him. And you're going to see much more of him. I mean, this young man is just getting started. I think he's going to be absolutely fine. And I think he's going to do a great job for Alabama when he gets another opportunity, which will be against Texas A&M. I don't think it's going to be just play him one time and then get him out. I think he's going to play every single week. And, you know, and he should. I mean, this year is all about depth. It's all about quality depth. And these guys need as many reps as possible, especially without a spring, long fall training camp. I think it was a great performance overall from these quarterbacks. I think overall, just the second half, I'd like to watch kind of that second half again to figure out what went wrong. I know what went right, and that was William Anderson on defense.
I mean, about to ask you about him. This is one of your nuggets right here.
I'm telling you. Hey, disruptive. Call open 205-850-0883 is a call in line. Yeah, William Anderson. I mean, he was seriously so. When I look at the first play of the game, he was in the backfield like right away, like a cheetah, like a panther, like a puma. And he was after the quarterback. And we all looked at each other for the watch party. And we're like, did you see William Anderson? And, you know, he was right back there and he made play after play after play. The guy is phenomenal. I mean, I understand, you know, that this guy is the truth. I mean, thumbs up if you agree. I mean, this guy was outstanding. I can't wait to see what he can do, you know, in game two, in game 10 down the road. I mean, this guy's big time.
Yeah. I mean, you come in your first game like that and you play like that. I mean, you start to draw comparisons to like the Derek Thomases of the world. You know, I mean, I'm talking about some of the all time great Alabama defenders. And I know this guy's played one game, but look, you don't just come out of high school and then put that uniform on and then outshine all these guys. He's got stars all around him, but for a freshman to come in there and have an impact, I thought even Malachi Moore played well too, you know, but you're right. We were really paying attention to Anderson Jr. and he did not disappoint. I mean, first play of the game, but there were other plays that he had. And it also shows you something about Nick Saban too. Because coaches that win a lot normally don't win a lot playing freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really comfortable with these guys because he's seen them mess up his practices.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the two freshmen that started on defense tonight. You had Malachi Moore and you had William Anderson, and both of those guys were effective. We're all talking about William Anderson. There was a couple times where he really laid into some offensive players, and Malachi Moore was all over the field. I thought he played exceptional, you know. And then you look at some freshmen who, you know, Nick Saban talked about in his press conference. That was Drew Sanders, who was on the outside that got caught on that wheel route. So, you know, freshmen are going to play like freshmen. I think it's kind of unusual to see William Anderson start out as hot as he did, because he was pretty much lights out. And we got our first caller of the night. Finally, we got some callers. My goodness, let's pick it up. We got Ed from Utah, and we're going to take this call right now. He's basically talking about big picture stuff. All right, so we're going to bring him on. Ed, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, not much. I've been watching you for a few weeks now. I'm a big Bama fan here in Salt Lake City. I'm a huge Nick Saban fan. I love the excellence that he's brought to the program. And I mentioned to your producer that other than the first year when they went 7-6, Nick has had a team that could easily, even the years they didn't make it to the championship, be top three. So even when they're down, it's, you know, there's not much that separates them from the best teams. And it's no different this year.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you very much for calling. Do we have a score update, Mick, on a game that's in Utah?
Yes.
That's on our picks. BYU and Troy.
Troy. Yep. It's 14-0 right now.
Hey,
so. I know it's crazy, right? Did you see the final of the Tennessee game? Tennessee won by 4. Okay. The spread was 3.5.
All right, we got it. Okay, so Ed, thank you very much for calling. We just had to get back to that little Utah game we got going on. I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Nick Saban, what he's done since his first year at Alabama has been pretty remarkable. Because, I mean, no other program in college football has been able to have the consistency that Nick Saban has had year after year after year after year, right? I mean, it's really remarkable what he's done. You look at the programs that have, you know, I mean, let's look at LSU. I mean, look at them right now, right? They lost to Mississippi State. Mike Leach comes in one time and, you know, all those guys, the turnover that happens. I mean, it's really hard to stay at the top. I know Clemson is having a fantastic run right now. But I think, you know, what Nick Saban's been able to do over the course of time will never be done again. I know that, you know, there's always someone who comes along. There's always another Kobe Bryant. There's always another LeBron James. There's always another Michael Jordan out there. But, I mean, in terms of what Nick Saban has done, it's going to be a long time till another person comes along in college football and emulates what he has done year after year after year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, and Alabama's been lucky because they had the guy that was that coach in the past, a guy by the name of Bear Bryant, you know, yep. And then it took all those years, and mm-hmm. then finally another guy like that emerges, and by chance he ends up being the Alabama coach. But, you know, the crazy thing to me, you know, just going back to Ed and his point, it's when you look at where Alabama has been after that first season, 2008, you know, they're in it right until the end. They lose to Florida in the championship game, and they end up losing to Utah, by the way, in the bowl game, right? 2009, they win the national championship. 2010, you know, they had a really bad season, and they lost three games, and they still had a chance going into the Iron Bowl, because remember that year there were a lot of losses. So 2011, they win it. 2012, you know, every year it seems like it comes down to the Iron Bowl and, you know, maybe the college football playoff. But they're always within, you know, there's never meaningless games, you know, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, there's been like maybe three or five games that they've played that haven't had an impact on the college football playoff since he's been coaching after 2007. So it's amazing. I mean,
he's truly the GOAT. And, you know, he's done a great job, not only on the team perspective, but the recruiting class, as we talked about, you know, with Andrew Bone. I mean, these guys are number one in the nation recruiting wise when you can't even have recruits on campus, right? You're doing virtual recruiting visits. And I think this is a year where, you know, the Bama factor just certainly sells itself. And Nick Saban has certainly done that. So call in line is open, 205-850-0883 is a call in line number. I want to take your calls. I'm here with Mick Gillespie. We had our tailgate show. Definitely check that out on Fridays. It was on Jocks. It'll be aired in the morning time. Tell them a little bit more about the tailgate show, Mick.
Yeah, it was fun, first off. I mean, like, let's just throw that out there right away. I mean, we had a great time. We're basically going to do this thing live right here where you guys can watch it. It's almost like you're getting a sneak peek by watching it on Friday night, 6 to 8. You know, next week, I'll be in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's at home for Texas A&M. We'll have it 6 to 8. And then it'll air on Jocks the next morning, which is Saturday, 9 to 11. But we also have the podcast. So as soon as the show's over, you can download that podcast and listen to it. And, you know, I did all three. I mean, I was here, and then I listened to the podcast, and then I listened to it on the radio. You know, it was like I'm quality control for this, okay? So I pretty much quote what everyone talked about on the show. But seriously, it was a lot of fun. You know, Tyler and Trey did a great job. You know, you were awesome on there. And basically that show is a little bit different than other shows because, you know, we're doing beer reviews and we're talking to, you know, a guy about cigars and we're going to get into some football and we're going to have Bone on. And he's going to do his recruiting and, you know, we'll go and use, you know, take advantage of these great experts on whatever team we're playing from the rival sites. So we got all this stuff. It's like a variety show. You know, I try to be like Kermit the Frog, you know, I'm just like, you remember the old Muppet show? You know, it's like, you're just kind of bringing the next thing in and moving the next thing out. Or the thing out that was there before. But I loved it, man. I had such a good time last night.
All right, here we go. We got DeMarco from Atlanta wanting to talk about Bryce Young. DeMarco, what's good, man?
How you doing, Kyle, man? Thanks for having me on. So real quick, by the way, really, really impressed with the Roll Tide, man. But, man, Missouri did a really, really good job of standing up Trey Sanders in the second half up front. You know, Bryce showed some flashes. Overall, the team looked pretty well. But, you know, me and you had a comment or two about this on the video you posted a couple of weeks ago. We knew what Bryce was going to be, but we know that all things take time, right? So not really much to say there. He did all right. We'll see what he does in future weeks. But, man, Missouri really flipped on us in that second half up front. Trey Sanders couldn't get going. This was a guy we were excited about. What in the heck happened, Kyle? I mean, really?
I mean, you look at I was puzzled. I mean, you look at the stats right there. Look at Trey Sanders. I mean, a guy that we are all excited to see. I mean, 9 rushing attempts for 1 yard. I mean, was that on Trey Sanders? Was that on the, you know, was the offensive line a little bit exhausted? I mean, I know things kind of dipped a little bit when Evan Neal went out, but I mean, he's a tackle. He's not a guard. I know that they went with Chris Owens at center. It's something that Alabama is probably already dissecting as they fly back to Tuscaloosa on their Delta plane. And, you know, that's unacceptable, number one, because Najee Harris had so much success. He's Najee Harris. This is a campaign, but I mean, Trey Sanders is a guy that is elusive. And we saw Brian Robinson. And DeMarco, did you see the drop by Brian Robinson? Poor dude. I mean, that was a touchdown.
Yeah. You know, and for me, this is one of those things that Nick Saban talks a lot about is, are we able to be at a point where we can focus game in, game out, play in, play out? Are we able to keep our conditioning to a point where the mental mistakes really don't occur? This is a late evening game. You know, the lights aren't too bright. The sun isn't too high. This is a situation where we have a guy who's a really, really talented guy that just has to focus in, make a play. And it, you know, and just to see that drop, you know, kudos to Mac 10, we call him, right? Putting that thing on the money, bread and butter. He was on it tonight. Really impressed. I love what I saw from him. And just a quick outlook on the rest of the conference, man. I really think LSU is going to be struggling a little bit this year. Texas A&M struggled a little bit, and Georgia struggled a little bit. So I think we're going to be quite fine, Roll Tide family. I think we just have to stay locked in, stay humble, and just do those little things Nick Saban talks about week in and week out. And, you know, Kyle, I'll be here every other show bugging you and just making sure you're on your toes, man.
All right. Well, thank you so much, DeMarco. We're going to run to our next caller, man. But we got love for Atlanta. In fact, I'll be in Atlanta tomorrow, Atlanta. So I'm coming for you. One of my favorite cities. But thank you very much, DeMarco. I'll catch up with you soon.
All right, fellas.
All right. Take it easy. All right. Next on the line, we got Nick from Alabama, wants to talk about the bad second half. All right, Nick from Alabama. What's up, buddy? You're on the line.
How's it going, Kyle?
It's going great, man. And say hello to Mick as well. Mick is a great guy. We've added him to our great staff. So, Nick, it's your show, man. Take it away.
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm curious about the second half. We didn't have that good of a, you know, I don't know if it was a game plan or what, or he just wanted to get the young guys in to play. But it just, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
Go ahead, Mick. Take it.
Well, I mean, I felt like a couple things. First off, Alabama got off to a great start, and they dominated the first half. And it just kind of felt like years past where they get these big leads and maybe take their foot off the accelerator. But the other part, we were going to see Sanders, we were going to see Bryce Young, and Nick Saban's trying to take advantage of this opportunity probably earlier in this game than he would normally to work all these guys in, you know. For Sanders, he's going to have to get in there and learn, you know, how to hit the blocks again, you know, and how to run in the SEC. I remember when Harris started out. I mean, he wasn't just Najee wasn't a superstar running back his first time, you know, and it's going to take some time to build up. But I never felt like the Missouri was even in this game. You know, there was never a point where I thought, okay, these guys can play with Alabama. I felt like it was more Alabama playing against Alabama. And then to me, and Kyle, you jump in, but I felt like Nick Saban said in the press conference, like he's going to put guys in to different positions in a game like that because we don't have those other games where we're playing these opponents that are so far below Alabama's standard where you can go in and just kind of, you know, play around a little bit with your lineup. I mean, this is one of those games, really, when you think about it. There's no Georgia State on this, you know, on this schedule this year. You know, they're not playing Chattanooga, you know, so they have to take advantage of these second halves when they have a big lead. That's what I thought anyway.
Hey, Nick, let me ask you a question. And first of all, thank you very much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Thank you to everyone who's watching. We've been streaming for a long time today, so thank you very much. I hope everyone has had a chance to, you know, grab some food and, you know, maybe call your wife and tell her that, you know, it's College Football Saturday. You'll be home soon. But, Nick, what was the most frustrating part of the second half for you?
I guess just the offensive line. It just like we didn't have the push like we always have and year in and year out. You know, we just didn't fire off the ball good. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm going to watch that second half and I want to just watch it by myself. I want to just internalize that second half and I want to watch the offensive line play. I know they were switching some things out when Evan Neal went down. They put Chris Owens in at center. So that, you know, kind of creates, you know, different feel. They had Kendall Randolph in number 60. Is it all on Trey Sanders? Is it a combination of the offensive line and Trey Sanders? Is it only Trey Sanders? I mean, is it the turnover didn't help? But when I look at Bryce Young, I don't think things slowed down dramatically when he was in. It just had a really weird feel. I think you sometimes expect Alabama to start off so hot, but they did. But you know, you might have seen that in the first half, but the way they played in that second half, I mean, that's not good enough to continue down the stretch. And like Mick was saying, I mean, you don't have the Georgia Southerns. You don't have New Mexico State up now. You don't have Colorado State. You have Texas A&M next week. Then you have Ole Miss. Yeah. Then you have Georgia. Yeah. So you better tighten it up. And, I mean, these guys need to fix, you know, where things are kind of leaking right now going into a gauntlet of a season.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's what I'm looking at going down the road. You know, we got the Georgias of the world, and, you know. even if we get to the SEC championship, you know, we'll probably be facing Florida. Florida looked great today.
Yeah, I mean, Florida looked great. And how about Miami just barreling through Florida State? Florida State is on just this incredible decline. I hope they have a parachute, right? Because, man, they are just like falling. It's unbelievable. My goodness. But yeah, anything else, Nick, while we have you on the show?
No, that's it. I was just kind of getting y'all's word on the second half. It's just, you know, we got to tighten some things up, but I think we'll be ready next week.
I think so, too. Thank you very much, Nick. And please call again next time. Please have a wonderful rest of your night and have a beautiful Sunday.
Appreciate it, Kyle.
All right. Take it easy. Okay.
And I'll tell you this, Kyle. You talk about Florida State and just how fast that program has plummeted. You know, we've been through this at Alabama. You know, when Alabama – I don't know really what the case was, but Gene Stallings retired. He didn't get along well with Bob Bockroth, and you know, and he left after the 95 season. It was kind of the same thing, or maybe it was 97 season, whatever it was, you know, like, yeah, it was 97. So then all of a sudden they go from being a team that wins, you know, 10 games a year to, you know, 2000 comes around and they win like three, you know, and it kind of feels exactly like Florida State. And the program really never got back to being a national prominent program until they got Nick Saban. You know, there were flashes of it. You know, coaches would come in and they'd have a year here, a year there. But they never had that sustained success. And I feel like when I look at, like, Tennessee or a Florida State right now, it proves kind of that same thing. You lose that one guy, and then when you don't have the right person to come behind him, you know, it can get away fast. But you're right. I mean, watching Miami just dismantle Florida State, it doesn't feel like it's really Florida State. It's their uniforms, but it's not really them in there.
Yeah, it's something like that. You got to be like, you know, the old Scooby-Doo where you pull off the mask.
Oh, it's Southern Miss in there. We should have
known. Call line is open, 205-850-0883. We're not going to take this show to tomorrow. You know, we all have places to go. We're going to take a couple more calls and get used to it. And I know it's late, and some nights, you know, you might have been, you know, drinking too much Yingling, you know, Flight or the Black Pants, and you're like, well, yeah, right. I'm not sure if I can call into this show because I'm insane. But look, all right, we're going to do the call-in show. So get used to calling in, and don't worry, call in. It's your show. If you want to talk about the frustration of something, it doesn't matter. Look, I'm here to, you know, talk with you. You know, we have Mick on, and we have the guys in the back. You know, Trey did a great job. Trey's our intern, and he just hopped on in and he's producing. So we're going to get together as a staff and try to figure out everything. But, we have another caller.
He's got to finish up so he can get down the Galettes. You know, that's where all the college kids in is free.
Yeah, he's got to take 11:30 p.m. shower and then go. All right, we got Sam on the line from Alabama, wants to give an assessment about Alabama and the rest of the SEC. Sam, what's up, buddy? Thank you very much for calling in.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Go ahead. Your show. Take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to give a general overall assessment of the game. Offensively played great beginning of this in the first half. Defensively played great. Offensively, what did they need to work on? As far as like in the second half, I just didn't think that. I think they were trying to take the air out of the game in the second half when Bryce Young came in. Mm-hmm. You know, they were trying to mute the clock. You know, they wanted to get the game over. Of course, they wanted to move the football. But then, I don't know, they just got bogged down. The offensive line seemed like they weren't blocking as well. They weren't opening up any gaps for the running backs. Bryce made some pretty good, decent plays. I wouldn't put the, you know, of course he had to hang on to the football. He had to protect the football. But I saw on that play, the defensive lineman went through two offensive linemen, right? He squeezed through two offensive linemen to get to Bryce Young, which caused a fumble. So they got to do a better job of coaching these guys up. You know, tell them to, you know, stay in the game, play hard throughout the game, like Coach Saban said earlier. And also, you know, kicking game did pretty well. Will Rocket, you know, kicked the ball really well.
You know what? I need to talk about Will Reichert. I mean, he hit a field goal. He hit all his people. We talked about it before. And
this is the perfect game for me and the kickers. How many punts did we have?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess we'll have to look at the stats. Yeah, and the puncher was Sam Johnson. So he's a walk-on. So I think we're going to see Ty Perrine nugget in the next game. So, Will Reichert, he lined up. What was the field goal that he kicked? What was it, from like 30-some yards?
I don't know, like 37 yards or something like that. But it was, hey, I was happy with it, you know.
34 yards.
Compared to what we've been getting in over the past several years, a field goal kick like that, you know, I was satisfied.
Yeah,
me too. I mean, it was great. Hey, everybody out there, hit the subscription button or subscribe, the bell, whatever. Make sure you're a part of Bama Insider so you don't miss these shows. Hit the like button. We appreciate it. Super chat's also welcome. Mick, it looks like you're going to rattle off some stats or something.
Well, I was going to say this. Like, you know, this was my kind of kicking day, right? We had three punts and a field goal, right? Exactly. And the field goal was at the end of the game. It didn't matter. I graduated a long time ago, and I've been following this team a long time, and there have been very few times that Alabama had a Michael Proctor that made all the field goals, okay? We had the guy that we called Money, Christian something or other, in the 05 season. But every other time, I'm always biting my fingernails when those field goals come. I like these kind of games where you really don't have to depend on the field goal kicker a lot, but and that's what I mean. Like, this game, I never really felt like Missouri was in it. And I just, my gut feeling is that, you know, you had a couple injuries and then you got to get Bryce Young in. I remember Eli Manning's first game when he was at Ole Miss. And, you know, you could tell, just like when Bryce Young came in, he wasn't perfect. He was far from perfect. But you could tell there's something magical about what this kid can do. The way that he throws the football, the ease that it comes out of his hands, the velocity, the accuracy, this guy's eventually going to be one of the premier players in college football. He's got to probably eat a little bit more. They need to fatten him up. But, you know, but besides that, I mean, it's exciting. And, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that college football is at the point now where a true freshman quarterback is going to get in.
Hey, Sam, what else?
Can I say one more?
Yeah, go ahead. Just going to ask you, you wanted to give an assessment of the rest of the SEC. I mean, give the assessment, and please give us an assessment of Texas A&M, because what was that final score between them and Vanderbilt, like 17-12 or something like that? Go ahead.
Oh, I don't even know about that game, man, but I watched some of that LSU game. I think LSU, well, I was telling you, producer, earlier, I think the LSU team overall, they're in trouble, man. They're looking down at least four or five losses this year, and I think Missouri is going to be I don't know if they play Missouri this year, but they're going to be. It's going to be a lot of games where they're going to struggle offensively and defensively because they lost a lot, man. They lost a lot on offense. The offensive line was practically dissipated from the draft and transfers and whatnot. The defensive line, you know, he had a lot of guys that leave out the defensive line. And, you know, I was telling the producer, they had an offensive lineman move to defensive line. That's how much they are struggling right now. And when they run up against a buzzsaw like the University of Alabama or some other team in the league, they going to look bad. I mean, they look bad today, but they still have talent, but they're going to struggle the rest of this year.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, what I saw from them today wasn't impressive. What was impressive was actually that Mississippi State quarterback, right? I mean, Mike Leach coming in, I mean, he's crafty. I mean, he gets a quarterback. They're highly efficient. Their receivers do a great job. Did you say Terrell Shavers? Yeah, he caught a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. I saw the touchdown. It was good for him. No, I'm proud of it, though. You know, I mean, he didn't get that many opportunities with Alabama. Yep. I was hoping they had stayed.
Yep.
I know the talent is there with him, but I was proud to see him have some success, you know, because he didn't have that much success here at the University of Alabama. So I wish him well, and I hope he continue to do well, except for, you know, later on down the line when they play us. But
yeah, I was proud of. I was happy for him.
All right. Anything else, Sam, while you're on the show?
Oh, no, that's it, man. I just appreciate you guys, and I continue to listen and I tune in, and then I appreciate what y'all do now every Saturday and throughout the week.
All right.
Appreciate buddy. It.
Well, thank you so much. Have a blessed Sunday and enjoy the day.
Yes, sir. You too. Thank you.
Right, take it easy.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Kyle, I kept thinking, and just kind of playing off of Sam's comment, when I was watching LSU and I saw their offense, and it's not very good this year, I just kept thinking about that post-game video that got leaked from the Bama locker room and Coach O. And they had this – did you watch any of the game? Did you see the Coach O jogging with his shirt off video?
Yeah.
See that? It was from like 60 Minutes or something.
Yeah, the jogging with the shirt off.
God.
It's painful.
What an embarrassment. Like,
but, I mean,
it's terrible. Like, and there's a check that he wrote that I don't think he's going to have the money to cash when Alabama gets a hold of him. I mean, like, the thing about what Nick Saban does, I'm going to be serious for a second. I'm just kidding. Look, he's a championship winning coach. I mean, we have to say that. But what Nick Saban's been able to do to have a consistently winning program with a chance to win a title and win five of them along the way has been amazing. Because what happens when you win a championship is you get content. And I really feel like it's that LSU was kind of that content. And now they just lost to Mississippi State at home, right? And that honeymoon's over.
Honeymoon has ended.
It's over.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting close to the end of our show. We've been streaming now pretty much all day. So
5 hours.
Yeah.
You've been on for 5 hours.
Yeah, we're crushing it, man. We're going hard. So
That's a marathon.
Let me give you guys a quick rundown before we head out. Okay. All right. Number one, I want to give props to our producers. Trey Yannity did a fantastic job tonight, but so did Tyler Waldrop. He takes your calls. He does a lot behind the scenes, does a great job, producing content at BamaInsider.com. Tony Tsoukalos is a wonderful writer. He wrote an article in his Friday feature on Emil Ikior that was fantastic. And, of course, we got Andrew Bone. He's like the Babe Ruth of the crew, batting in the four spot. And, Mick had a great week. We were under the gun to get the show together. This guy grinded, put together all the ads. And when I talk about super chats and the ads, like all that stuff really helps. I mean, it's not like we're out here. We all got families, we're trying to go. So anything that you can contribute, even a simple thumbs up goes a long way. So thank you very much for joining us. Hit that subscription button. Go watch Nick Saban's video. I'm going to stay up late night on the late night crew and make sure that you guys get the Mac Jones video, which should be distributed by the SEC. You can catch all our coverage via podcast on social media. But of course, go to BamaInsider.com. You don't have to wait for these particular days. You can go and catch up with the staff every single day for the coverage that you crave right here on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama is now 1-0 and will turn their sights towards Texas A&M for the home opener at Bryant Denny. It's going to be interesting to see Bryant Denny not fool for a game like that. And I guess that's kind of our closeout, but thank you to our calls, and we'll try to formulate the calls and try to figure out what we can do better going on. But we want to make sure that this is a quality show for you, that you're having a great time and getting all the information that you need from the BamaInsider.com staff. Mick, do you have a great time tonight?
Yeah, I did, man. It's been, and you talk about me working hard. You're the guy that works hard. There's like five of you, you're messaging me at night, and then I wake up in the morning, and there you're messaging me again while I'm sleeping. It's like there you have a rotation of different Kyle Hendersons that are just constantly working. You were just on the air for 5 hours, and that's impressive. I don't know that, I guess maybe in baseball I've done that before, but no, it's been a great week, man. Like the guys that you mentioned, and obviously Bone and Tony out there, and you, I appreciate all you guys. I feel like I just joined the New World Order. I told Bone that, the energy that you guys are bringing to this, the callers, the people that follow the site, and the Bama family that you talk about, man, this is what it's all about. So I'm just glad that I can, maybe help out a little bit. And listening to the show today on Jocks, you know, it's like all that hard work, man. You know that, you know, those people that are getting ready for the game, and they've got our show on, and maybe we're cracking them up, and they're maybe learning something in the same time. So that's what I hope, and we get to do it again next week. That's just really cool.
Yep, this is only week one. So, you know, we're going to grind hard, and we're going to keep going, and we're going to continue to pump out a great product. So for Mick Gillespie, my name is Kyle Henderson. We'll catch you soon at BamaInsider.com. Have a beautiful Sunday. Make sure and tell your loved ones that you love them. Never a bad time to hug someone that you love and tell them that you appreciate them. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow's all about family. We'll catch you soon back at BamaInsider.com. Good night, fam. We appreciate, and we really, really are thankful for you guys keeping up with our coverage, and we'll catch you soon at BamaInsider.com. Go watch that Nick Saban press conference right now.